Picking a Path Forward. As far as this audiobook is concerned, the fine-tuning problem boils down to two clear choices. On the one hand, fine-tuning is a case of coincidence piled higher and higher, and the only explanation is that humans just happen to exist in the right universe by chance. This is the viewpoint favored by multiverse and M-theory proponents, including Stephen Hawking and Max Tegmark. They accept the possibility of nearly infinite universes churning out every possible combination of constants, zillions of which do not match in such a way as to form life. But one did, and we happen to live in it. This is the cosmic equivalent of putting 100 monkeys to work tapping randomly on typewriters, eventually producing the complete works of Shakespeare, after also producing an almost infinite mountain of gibberish. Pure randomness rules if we live in nothing more than an incredibly unlikely universe of our own. Lucky us. How lucky are we exactly? Estimates that dovetail with superstrings, assuming they even exist, yield 1 chance out of 10 to the 500th, that's one part in the extremely large number of 1 followed by 500 zeros, 10 to the 500th, being a number far greater than the number of particles in the known universe. 100 monkeys writing all of Shakespeare is 1,000,000 times more likely. They could even write the rest of Western literature while they were at it. But it gets even more cumbersome. From so-called chaotic inflation theory, the chances of being in the right universe are much smaller. 1 over 10 to the power of 10 to the power of 10 to the power of 7. It's one thing to claim that 100 monkeys can write Shakespeare if given enough time. Quite another to declare that there is no other way for Shakespeare to be written, which is the claim M-theory and the multiverse hypothesis are making. Actually, the central claim of the multiverse is far more radical, since it states that all the possible laws of nature unfold in infinite ways, infinite times over. Probabilities break down when the odds for and against anything are both infinite. As Alan Guth puts it, here on Earth, two-headed cows are rarely born. But we can compute the odds of that happening by assigning a number to specific mutations. In the multiverse, however, one-headed cows and two-headed cows are both infinite in number, so computing anything about them falls apart. We said that two clear choices exist. The other choice, which we favor, is that the universe is self-organizing, driven by its own working processes. In a self-organizing system, each new layer of creation must regulate the prior layer. So the generation of every new layer in the universe, from particle to star to galaxy to black hole, cannot be considered random, given that it was created from a pre-existing layer that in turn was regulating the layer that produced it. The same holds true throughout nature, including the workings of the human body. Cells form tissues, which in turn form organs. The organs form systems. And finally, the entire body has been created. Each layer emerges from the same DNA, but they stack up, as it were, until the pinnacle of achievement, the human brain, crowns it all. Yet, as magnificent as the brain is, compared with a single colon cell, the smallest component in its multi-layered structure is cared for and nourished. DNA has evolved this skill at building hierarchies because the entire universe was its schoolroom. This recursive system of self-organization, to give it a scientific name, where every layer curves back on itself to monitor another layer, pervades physics and biology. For example, your genes produce proteins that monitor and regulate the entire genome, tending to repairs and mutations in your DNA. In your brain, neural networks create new synapses, the connecting gaps between brain cells, that in turn monitor and regulate the pre-existing synapses that gave rise to them. The brain integrates all new knowledge, information, and sensory input by associating it with what you already know. Whether we're speaking of genes and the brain, or solar systems and galaxies, self-organization is present. Existence requires balance, which demands feedback. By monitoring itself, a system can correct imbalances automatically. Every new bit of the universe, however minuscule, must create a feedback loop with what gave rise to it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be connected to the whole. In human terms, it would be homeless. Viewed this way, fine-tuning isn't a mystery. No one finds anything mysterious about how the gear train in a car's transmission fits together precisely. If it didn't, the car couldn't operate. In the same way, an operational universe must be fine-tuned. Why would we expect the opposite to be true, that the universe is naturally ramshackle? What's actually natural in nature at every level is self-organization. Even when an event appears to be random, satisfying the mathematics of randomness, a kind of purpose is invoked, beginning with the overarching purpose of homeostasis, the dynamic balance of all parts in a whole. In high school biology, the classic example of homeostasis is the body's ability to maintain a steady temperature of 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit under changing thermal conditions outside. Let's say that you've been caught outdoors in the fall without a jacket as the temperature suddenly drops. Depending on how long you are exposed, your body will go through a series of tactical steps to ensure that your vital organs don't get chilled, such as moving blood away from the skin, closer to the bodily core, and revving up your metabolic furnace. Under a microscope, the activity of any single cell might look arbitrary and random, until you realize what the entire body is trying to accomplish. In our view, the fine-tuning of the universe shows how sensitive nature is, balancing galaxies by making sure that subatomic particles are in balance first. Self-organization is embedded in the fabric of the cosmos, acting like an invisible offstage choreographer to drive evolution. But this mustn't be mistaken for the red herring of intelligent design by a supernatural god in the sky. The smooth running of the universe is underpinned by quantum processes, rapidly making invisible, microscopic choices that lead to final results at the level of daily life. Do humans exist on our planet as winners in a cosmic game of roulette, overcoming incredibly small odds of finding the right universe? Or do we exist because we fit into the hidden scheme of nature? Most people answer according to their worldview, which can be religious, scientific, or a blurry hybrid of the two. Yet one thing is certain. If we believe in a hidden scheme or a grand design, we'll see it out there. We participate in the universe by finding order and figuring out where the patterns come from. Einstein hit upon a deep truth when he said, "I want to know the mind of God. Everything else is just details." Substitute the purpose of the universe for the mind of God, and you have a goal worth pursuing for a lifetime.